We're in this series of conversations talking about what on earth. Let's say that together. What on earth? Sometimes you ask that, you like see a news headline, you're like, what on earth is happening? You maybe experience somebody in your life do something and you're like, why in the world would you do that? Nobody? Every week when you drive around town? One of the things that we want you to understand about God is that God does have a will. And if you're wanting to discover more of God's will for your life, we believe you don't have to wonder every day when you wake up, am I living in God's will or not? We think there are some ways that God has spoken to us in the scriptures that we can know what on earth God wants. What on earth does God want for you? And as he lives with you, it kind of begins to come from you to others. What on earth is God's will? Last week we looked at Psalm 33, and it says this, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love." We need to look for that truth and reality in all that we do, because it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him." God's will is for us to revere him, to be a people of humble reverence. So all of your life can be humble reverence before God. Humble reverence before God, where you are looking to God for all things, and all of your life is yielding to him as God and King. You go, well, that's kind of simple. Just revere the Lord. That covers it, right? You're all confident. I feel like we can just close it. We can just stop right now. We don't need to look. No, okay. What on earth does God want? If you look to the beginning of the story of the scriptures and you look to the end of the story, I think we want to know this. God wants his perfect creation. He wants relationship with us in perfection, where we walk in connection with God. Where we see at the end is we see heaven swallowing up everything else. So you could say what God wants is what we just prayed in the Lord's Prayer. God wants heaven here on earth, that the will of God would have more reality here in my life, in your life, here in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our church, in our cities. Well, how do we get more of heaven on earth? If that's what God wants, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do we get that? I'm glad you asked. One of the things we have to see is we have to see this through Jesus. So I want to remind us, Hebrews 10 says that humility is the posture of Jesus and must be our posture. We do not get more of what God wants through pride and arrogance. We get more of what God wants in the way of Jesus, which is humility and dependence. So as we are in the New Testament today, we're going to be looking at the life of Jesus. I'm going to summarize John 4, John 5. I'm going to set up in John 6, and then we're going to be in John 6. So hold on, because we're going for it today. All right, here we go. John 4. Jesus encounters a woman at a well. And there's this exchange of like, what on earth? Like, God, what do you want? What are you doing in this moment? And there's this beautiful exchange between Jesus and this woman. You should go check it out. John 4. And what Jesus says is he has living water that becomes a spring of eternal life. And if she knew who was in front of him, she would ask for what he has. John 4, a personal encounter. This means all of us need to understand God is personally wanting to encounter us with our actual life here on earth. The woman's trying to figure it out. She's like, and what we see is this refrain in worship and truth and the Spirit. And it says, God is Spirit and his worshipers must worship in Spirit and in truth. That means there's a trustworthy integrity to the God who is Spirit coming and leading us into truth. It is never disconnected from God. It is in relationship with God. We tracking so far? John 5. Actually, before I do that, there's a really important thing I can't miss. John 4:34. Anybody memorize John 4:34? Don't worry about it. I hadn't. Just Google it. Like, the internet has broken scripture memory because you can just text it and we're like, oh, what was that verse about? John 4:34. This is what Jesus says about himself. So if we are going to follow Jesus, we need to see what Jesus is up to. Jesus says, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So again, when we look at Jesus, Jesus says, I have come to do the will of the Father. In John, Jesus says, my food, my nourishment, the sustenance that I have for my life is to do the will of God the Father who sent me and to finish his work. Got to keep that in mind. Then we go to John 5. Jesus' ministry among the hurting and the sick. Do you know anybody who's hurting or sick right now? Yeah, I mean, not to create unity in the wrong place in this room, but if you know someone who is hurting or sick right now, just raise your hand. Look around, every hand. Or in the last week, in the last 10 days. The reality now is the reality then. In John 5, what we see is Jesus begin to move among the people, and he is beginning to demonstrate the work and will of God, which is healing. What on earth does God want? Well, in Jesus, we see God wants sick people made well. Amen? This is great news. The will of God is that we would step forward and go, in the kingdom of God, in the heaven of God, no more sickness. So where I see sickness, I want to come and join in the work of God because we see Jesus doing this same work. He's demonstrating his kingdom coming here on earth as it is in heaven, healing the sick. And then he proclaims the good news. John 5:24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged but has crossed over from death to life. All these signs of healing and the inbreaking of the kingdom, these signs point to the life of God. These signs demonstrate that there is a source and an authority for God to give eternal life. It's what he's talking about. Then we get to John 6. John 6:2, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Anybody ever ask God for a sign? Like, oh God, if you would just give me a sign, then I would know and it would all be good. Whenever I ask for signs, turns out it's always aligned with my will. It's weird. Hey, God, would you just give me a sign that's exactly what I asked for the thing I want you to do for me? Too much honesty from the front. This crowd begins to follow Jesus because they see signs. These signs are drawing a crowd. They're drawing attention. There's this story. So this crowd, they're out. They're with Jesus. They get hungry. Jesus says, you feed them. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? If you're asking for a sign, it's usually because there's a need, and it'll make us question whether God can move or not or how that works, and then a miracle of heaven breaks out here on earth in the feeding of thousands of people. Anybody, if you've been around church, maybe you've heard this story. Jesus feeds thousands of people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. It doesn't make sense. It's like, how does something so small get multiplied to nourish that many people? It is a miracle. And what's funny is we all want miracles and signs, but we doubt, yeah, that probably didn't happen. We feel the struggle of faith in us in this reality, just like the people did in that day and time. You go, why are you doing this? Why are you talking about John 4 and John 5? And now you're talking about a miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Like, make it make sense. What we have to see are there are these threads pulled all the way through the scriptures that are connected to a loving, living God who is at work. And in Jesus, we see that he came to do his work. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to take the life of Jesus seriously, that God is up to this and wants to be up to this in our lives here and now. Jesus could draw a crowd. There was a miracle. They said that they started to follow him because of the signs. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, feeding the thousands, they began to say, "Surely this is a prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by... Oh, that's interesting. They intended to come make him king by their force, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. He's like, "I'm not here to do y'all's forceful will. I'm here to do the will of the Father in heaven." Jesus knows, "I am here on earth to do the will of the one who sent me, not the forceful will of the people who we created." Are y'all tracking here? You got to see this thread. A spring of water, eternal life. "I have come to do the will of the one who sent me." The will is going to show up here in this next part. And I just want to set the stage here, because we're going to be talking about signs and wonders, and we're talking about the will of God. And what we see right here in the setup that's going to move us into this next part is seeing the signs of God is not the same thing as surrendering to the will of God. Seeing the signs of God is not the same thing as surrendering to the will of God. To do the will of God on earth means we humble ourselves to God, not force our will on Him. Do we want to do a collective cringe? They came to make Him king by force. He's already the creator of the heavens and the earth. He withdraws. Then you get another miracle. Jesus walks on water. Jesus feeds 5,000, meets material food need, nourishment, signs and wonders. Then he walks on water. More miracles, more signs. And here's what's just so fascinating to me about disciples. I think we should all feel really cared for right now this morning in the disciples. Those who were spending time with Jesus. I mean, have you ever thought, if I could have just been there, if I could have just been with Jesus and saw that miracle, then I would for sure have, like, perfect faith. Anybody ever thought that? Just me. Weird. The disciples are in a boat going across the water. Remember, some of them are professional fishermen. They knew the water. They knew the boats. They knew the sea. This is them in their prime gifting. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat. Listen, they had just seen a sign and a wonder, a miracle. It was still something about the personal relationship and trust that was needed for them to begin to welcome God in. The signs and the miracles are not sufficient for us for some reason, because I think if we looked around our lives, we would see enough miracles that point to the Creator God that we would go, "I've seen enough miracles, I believe." But just like the disciples, they forgot. Their memory for the miracle of the masses being fed was short-lived, because they are now afraid and terrified about the next circumstance and the next deliverance they need. We all do that. We come through circumstance, God delivers us, there's this moment of breakthrough, there's this moment of hope and moment of peace, and it's short-lived because the next moment of fear and disruption comes. Anybody? So here's what I want us to get to. That was like, welcome to the intro. Here's where we are now. Let's pick it up. John 6, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, that's Jesus, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? It's an appropriate question. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. What on earth is God's will for us? What on earth is there for us to do here and now, according to Jesus? To believe. At its most simple, foundational reality, this is the struggle of my soul every day I wake. To believe. To believe that this is the day the Lord has made. To believe that there is a heaven that is breaking backwards into this earth. To believe there is a God who has sent his Son to remedy all that needs repair and restoration. That wherever I can see all the brokenness and darkness and all that's out there, that I would believe there is a light breaking in. What does God require? Perfection? No, that's in Jesus Christ. Good news. What does God require? You to try harder? To be more religious? To do more by your forceful will? To believe. In who? Y'all are preaching good this morning. So they asked him. This is so helpful to me. Just watch. He's like, you would think the conversation ends. Right? What do you need from us? He's like, believe. So they question him again. They asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? I mean, you walked on water, you fed the masses, you've been healing the sick all around us that we can't heal. So like, I mean, prove it. We should feel an immense amount of invitation to the struggle it is to believe and to walk with God, and the patience and the kindness of God revealed in Jesus, that he would sit that close to our questions. What sign then will you give? And then they go on to teach Jesus about the scriptures. They go on to say, listen here, Rabbi, let me teach you about the Old Testament. Let me tell you how this actually works, okay? Here we go. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. Sounds like another interaction where the enemy in the wilderness looks at Jesus and goes, you know, it's written. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. God the Father creating, God the Father orchestrating his will at work through all the scriptures. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. It's good news. And then they go, sir, I love that, sir, always give us this bread. Always fill us with this bread. Always nourish and meet us with this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. It's not that you've seen the signs. It's not that you've merely seen the miracles. You have seen me, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. You have seen me and you do not believe. Where have you seen the reality of God? And to be real honest, you struggle to believe. We should see ourselves in this moment with God, because the way Jesus is lovingly discipling these people into his kingdom story, he's building a foundation for them that cannot be separated from the Savior. It's not to believe in the signs. It's to believe in the Son. It's to believe in the Savior, in the personal way God shows up and shows his will to us, which is that you would have eternal life every day. Every day you would get eternal life, and not eternal life in miracles and signs and healings and things, eternal life in very much God Himself with you. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. God is not driving away. He's drawing. What on earth does God want? His will is that you would be drawn to a faith in Him that is actually the faith of God at work in the earth, calling people home. The faithfulness of God in every generation, walking with you, saying, come home. Come to the Savior. Come, look to the Son, Jesus Christ. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. Guys, if we're going to follow Jesus, there is no escaping this. If this is who Jesus is and how Jesus operates, as followers of Jesus, this is our refrain. For now I live to do the will of God the Father, who I believe in. Because I see it in the Son. Jesus says, I have come down from heaven to do not my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me. What is God's will here on earth? Here it is, according to Jesus. That I shall lose none of those He has given me. To believe in Jesus puts you in a safe and secure place in God's family. It's not up for grabs. It's not anybody else's. It is the will of God reaching for you, saying, come home. It's the will of God reaching for you, saying, believe in me today. Heaven breaking in to earth here in your heart and your mind. And I will raise them up at the last day. Death will not win. Death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? No, the resurrecting God is giving eternal life because that is His will. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up the last day. God's will is to believe in Jesus the Son. God's will is to look to Jesus in all things for all of your life. And so every decision, when you look to God's will, it begins with an orientation of heart and mind that's like, I believe in Jesus. I'm not looking for another sign to say, well, if you do this, then I'll believe. He's saying, look to the Savior, look to the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth. Put your belief not in the outcome or the sign, but in God Himself. This is God's will for you, to believe. And what I love about this interaction here is it's not this religious performance where, like, God's saying, if you believe enough, if you believe perfectly, then you're in. Whatever measure of belief you can muster this day, that tells you you're in if you're looking to God. To look to the Son. It's attaching your life to Jesus. I was thinking about all these different threads and I couldn't figure out how to do it, but it's like there's this thread of God's faithfulness that you could like look for in your life. And then at some moment you bring your will and you attach it to the will of God. And there's times that you kind of weave them more intricately together and it's hard to separate them. And then there's times your will just starts to wander. And the will of God continues to move because he's decided His will for you is eternal life. That's His longing for you. God has decided He wants you to have eternal life in Jesus. But the thing I said last week, and I want to say again, this is not about one decision that gets you into heaven. This is about a daily decision that welcomes heaven here now in you. It is a daily dependence where you tell pride and independence to go away and you put belief in Jesus by the Spirit for everything you need today. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. As you keep looking at the life of Jesus, you will see more miracles. You will see that he has to entrust himself into the Father for the miracle of resurrection life. He yielded himself all the way into death. He enters into the darkness of a tomb and entrusts the fullness of his life into the power and presence of God the Father, who is the one who gives eternal life. It is in the life of Jesus we see this all the way to the darkest moment you could imagine. Even there, God will meet you with the power of his will. This is good news. Where do you need the power of God to come? Because there are places that you struggle to believe. And not in a sign or a miracle. Like, because do you need another one? Do you need another miracle to believe? Do you need another moment? I'll just be honest. I love when God proves himself again in my life. I love when God shows up again, but what he's doing is he's reattaching me to who he has always been. He's reattaching me to his faithfulness through every generation. The will of God is that I would believe tomorrow morning when I wake up. The will of God is I will believe in God when you leave and I'm prone to be insecure, like, did this message work? Oh, that, like, y'all connected to that. There we go. Listen. If I believe in Jesus, then I believe the Creator God made me with a purpose and loves me so much, anything that would separate me from him, he goes, I don't want that. So my son will come and close the gap. Anything that you think is going to separate you from God, he goes, no, my will is that you would have eternal life in me, and so I'm going to come cover the gap. Anything that you need forgiveness from, I'm coming for you. Anything you need freedom from, I'm coming for you. All you have to do is believe that I am God, believe that I have resurrection power, and that I am the source of eternal life, and then let's go together. It's good news. And what it means is all of the pride in me has to be sacrificed every day the same way Jesus did it. All of the individualism in me has to be laid at the feet of Jesus that says, I'm yours. Not my will, but your will. Heaven here on earth. We have to believe God wants the best for us. The original sin in the garden is we believed a lie instead of believing God. We believed a voice other than God's as more true than the voice of God. And that lie was, God does not want the best for you. He's holding out. Jesus is a visible expression, God wants the best for you. Believe. Believe God sent Jesus to save. We have to resist rebellion. That's really normal in the human heart. We have to resist cynicism, that we somehow know better. We have to resist self-righteousness to receive God's faithful and unfailing love. Doing God's will requires connection to him every day. The will of God, what on earth does God want? God wants us to wake up tomorrow to believe in Jesus and depend on God for this day. To listen, to be humble, to receive, and to again say, not my will, but your will. I have not come to do my will. I want to do your will. What is your will? What is your will? And it is to believe. It's to believe that eternal life is here and now. When you begin to follow Jesus, eternity has begun. Frankly, we're already in eternity. Does that make sense? Like, time keeps going. But the God who created it is saying, I will secure it. Believe in me. Eternal life starts now with a life that welcomes the maker of heaven and earth. Eternal life welcomes the salvation of Jesus into every aspect of life. Eternal life is contagious, and it is meant to be shared because there are people who are hurting and in pain and need hope. And Jesus demonstrates the good news of the kingdom, and he proclaims it. And if we are going to follow in his footsteps, we too get to be the recipients. God, demonstrate your kingdom in my life, and let me tell about it. Demonstrate who you are as you call me your own, and let me tell about it. We all can be confident that the will of God is for us to look to Jesus and believe in him, and to believe that God's posture towards all of humanity is that we would have eternal life. Let's stand together. So how do you believe? Like, how are you going to do this? For some of us, there actually is a first decision to believe. There is a moment where you just go, God, I am in. I am yours. I believe in Jesus. That is a significant first decision. It is not the only time. From that decision on, then we want all of our decisions to be places we practice depending on God and saying, what is your will? We listen for, we look to Jesus. We look for Jesus here and now. We look for the work of the kingdom. So how do you believe? Well, if you're here today and you have never proclaimed Jesus as Lord, you have never said, you know what? I am going to step forward, and if this is God's will for me to believe in Jesus and then spend the rest of my days with him receiving life, that's what I want. You can receive that today. And the same way you respond, God, I don't know how all this works, but today I just realized I have done my individual will. I have lived out of my will. Today I surrender that to you, and I say, not my will, but your will be done. I believe in Jesus. Help. That's all it takes today, and you're in. You are his. He's already been pursuing you. He already loves you. We can never grow tired of doing that because that is how we do it every day, day in and day out. You've been following Jesus for 50 years. Today, you wake up and you go, not my will, but your will be done. So I'm going to give you a moment just to think about, like, where are you choosing and prioritizing your will, and where is God speaking? Like, I just think God's going to speak to you today. I can't apply this to every one of you. I don't know your stories well enough. I don't know your life well enough. I don't know where you're feeling stuck. I don't know where you need freedom. I don't know what faith is. I actually believe God wants to do that work with you, and that would increase your faith that God is pursuing you and loves you. And so, God, as we close our time together, I just acknowledge we need you. We've got questions. We've got doubts. We've got needs. We can look for all the reasons to not believe that you are who you say you are. Because it's not yet heaven. All full and final. But what we ask is even now you begin to speak to us. What is the invitation today to believe? Maybe for some of us in the room, you're just feeling the love of God come and pursue you. Like your heart is so soft towards God. And you just go, I'm in. That is the ultimate yes, and then you just do that for the rest of your life. Because heaven is all about being in God's presence forever. So we begin to welcome God's presence here and now. For some of you too, I've just been thinking this, like you have been following Jesus for some time, but it's just become, like the word for me is like lackluster. Like, yeah, you've seen God move, but it's almost like you don't believe, or you don't believe the way you used to. And I just think God's just wanting to, like, weave new things of his faithfulness into your story. Like, his will more evident, his will more powerful, his presence. And maybe for some of us it is going to be signs and wonders, it's going to be miracles, but most importantly, it'll be the magnetic reality of his presence. And so God just said, that makes sense to people in the room. We just pray you would do that. Like, draw us into your story. If you're here and available to pray, part of our prayer ministry team, some of our small group leaders, our leaders who are trained to pray, I want you to come down front. Jesus is happy for signs and wonders to be a place of faith, like breaking into your story. And so we're going to pray for healing today. Just the stuff we see Jesus do in the scriptures, we're going to ask God to do it here today. But I think some of you, like, you just know the spot in your life that it's really hard to believe. And I'm just going to invite you to come, let some people just pray for God's voice to speak to you. Like, you feel real stuck. There's a part of your life you feel really stuck in letting God be God. And so if you need prayer today, I'm going to invite you to come. If you are here today and you have made a decision to believe in Jesus, come. We want to pray for you. We want to bless that. That is a gift from God. God, give us faith. God, stir our hearts for what you're doing, for your will here on earth. So just receive this blessing of prayer. And I just think some of you just know you just need to come get prayer today. It's going to be a good thing. God's going to meet you. And so, Holy Spirit, we just conclude our time in a posture of receiving. I just pray for those of us who've really struggled to have faith, I just pray you would begin to put it in us. That even our faith would not be our prized possession that we give to you. Our faith would be the gift you have given to us. Open our eyes to see Jesus the Savior. Open our eyes to see where you have already been at work in our lives, and that we would just go, God, that was you, I'm in. Open our ears to your voice, God. That whatever we have heard and believed that was not right and true about you, I pray we would surrender those lies about who you are to the truth of who you are, because we have heard you, the word spoken to us. So again, I pray, fill this room with faith. The faith that comes from your faithfulness from generation to generation. Fill us with a faith that is a gift from you, that we would know you have pursued us first because you love us and you call us home. Free us from any sin that we think separates us from you, because in Jesus you have come with forgiveness for all people and for all sin that separates, that there would be healing in this room, there would be hope in this room, there would be deliverance in this place today. So do what only you can do, God. We pray for signs and wonders. We pray that as we pray for a friend this week who is sick and hurting, that we would get stories of healing and hope. We say, God, would you come with your kingdom? And would this be a place that we can say we are aligning to your will because we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Do your work, God. We receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen.